Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening to AIR. I'm your host, Jennifer Hellman, and tonight we have a return guest who had so much information and insights, I had to get her on again. Peggy Porter has experienced many near-death experiences during her lifetime, each time gaining a stronger sense of the other side and also with her own intuitive gifts. She is brilliant at moon magic and manifestation, and I'm happy once again to welcome Peggy onto the show. Hi, Peggy. How are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Just fine.
I appreciate the opportunity to be back on.
Oh, well, I appreciate you staying up late. I know you're on the East Coast, so I do appreciate you being on. Now, last time we focused on all your near-death experiences, and I do welcome the listeners to listen to the archives on that wonderful show, which was November 1st, 2007. I can't believe it was that far long ago. This time, then, we're going to do the wisdom of the moon and the magic that surrounds it. And with the full moon coming up in Scorpio on Sunday, it's a perfect time to learn this magic. So what you got for us?
Well, I believe that we all should expect and believe in magic in our lives every day. And we should see magic and experience it every day. And there's a little is known about magic. You create it all the time through ritual, and whether you realize it or not, you're doing it. And I choose moon magic because I've always been drawn to the moon since I was a child. I've during a full moon phase, I sleep very little during a full moon phase. And I found out that my father does the same thing. And I didn't realize that until just recently. But I'm a total insomniac during the full moon. I love to be out in the moon rays and be in the moonlight. I have done that since childhood. I used to sleep outside every time the full moon came. And whether you can see the moon or not, you're feeling the effects of it. And I choose the moon because I'm just totally drawn to it. I just love the moon and the moonlight. The moon is our closest neighbor. I mean, and scientifically, we know so much about it. We've even mapped her surface. And I say her because the moon is a physical, is the feminine aspect. Sun is the masculine aspect. And we know when and what to expect from her and her course, her terrain. We are very focused on that. But I want people to understand that our calendar is all based upon the moon cycle.
Right.
And you notice on your calendar when the new moon is present and when the full moon is present. You also need to know that your calendar, like Easter, how do we come up with Easter? It's late one year and it's early the next year. It's in April one year, it's in March. My birthday is this weekend, and my birthday often falls on Easter. This year it didn't, of course, but how do they choose that? Well, Easter is the first full moon on the Sunday after the spring equinox. It's after the first full moon, the first Sunday after the spring equinox. So our calendar is based on the moon, and also farmers have used the moon for years to plant and to harvest by. Any farmer's almanac, just pick up a farmer's almanac and you'll see that. So I am very in touch with the moon and the magic that surrounds it. To me, it just gives me a cosmic wallop of the energy. It also governs, it has its own rhythm. It affects all the tides and all the ocean life of the earth and the waters of the earth. Fishermen fish by the light of the moon. Oysters are said to open their shells during the moon cycle. And more women seem to go into labor during a full moon. I come from a healthcare background. I mean, and that's a common folklore around the hospital, you know, that women go into labor, and of course ERs and the emergency room explodes on the full moon, and police will even tell you that there is a truth to that. That, and where do we get the word lunatics from?
Right.
I mean,
right. And the moon has been part of mythology since the beginning of man as well. I mean, the study and the magic associated with the moon. As long as there's been man on this planet, they've studied and really we're drawn to the most. So the energy is long-lasting. And
oh, yes. And my favorite food, of course, is soft-shell crab. Well, crabs shed their shells and renew their shells during the full moon cycle. So, I mean, this is what fishermen have told us. And our weather has been predicted by the moon in the past. The ancients often predicted the weather by the full moon or the moon cycle. I've talked to several weathermen. I have several friends that are meteorologists for a lot of television broadcasting stations, and they tell me that we have more rain during the first quarter of a moon, or during the new moon, first quarter to the first quarter. We have more, and then again at the waxing, first week of the waxing or waning. I mean the waning moon, and by the waxing and waning, what I'm saying is when waxing, the moon, we say it's in a waxing phase. It's increasing in its light, and then in the waning stage, it's decreasing in light. So we'll go into that a little bit more in a few minutes. Also, there are more tornadoes and more hurricanes. And I live in South Florida, so this is real important to me. There are, you know, during the full moon cycle. So there's a lot of things that go, that folklore that goes around the full moon or the moon cycle. I prefer to do magic by the cycles of the moon because it's like adding gas to a car. It's like I said, a cosmic wallop of energy. It gives rise to my desires. And even when you can't see the moon, the energy is still there because the vibrations are felt. And we all know that everything vibrates in this universe. So let's talk a little bit about the moon. The moon, of course, is the closest of our heavenly bodies, and it influences the earth. We've already talked about some of that. But the stages of the moon cycle is roughly 28 and a half days. So that's why we're so familiar with what to expect from her and her course. Waxing, it appears to get larger, is about a 14-day period from new moon to full. And waning, it's going to decrease in light and get smaller. When it's void, what we say void course of the moon, there are no major aspects, and it's before it transits, I can't say that word, signs in the heavens.
Okay.
So right now we have a full moon. We're going to have a full Libra moon.
No, it's Scorpio moon.
This cycle.
It's actually Scorpio 0 degrees.
Well, all of my indications are that it's always opposite the sun sign. Whatever the sun is in the sun sign at this current time, your full moon will be in the opposite sign. And this is, we're still in Aries. Well, we will be moving into Taurus on the 20th. So
right.
And if you look at the calendar right now, the calendar will say that the full moon is on the 20th. But you need to understand that most moon magic people give a lot of credence to a 3-day going into the full moon, to that day, 3 days prior to that day, 3 days after is the full moon cycle. So you will feel that energy. I shorten that to, for me personally, to me it is like a day and a half before the full moon on your calendar and a day and a half after. I experience the most power from the moon those 3 days, the day before, the day of, and the day after. And I just feel that 3-day cycle, but most people will tell you that it's 3 days prior and 3 days after. Let's talk about the stages of the moon. The new moon. New moon is for seed planting. It is for positive changes. It is for love and good luck, growth, new beginnings, and to invoke something new into your life. So from the time of the new moon until the full moon, you plant that seed of what you're wanting, of what your desire is. Because it's all about intention. And before we start talking about anything else, let's talk about intention a minute. It's your thoughts become things. And all a ritual is a procedure or a ceremony to get you what you want, to create the desired environment, to stimulate the energy, to bring that to fruition. It removes doubt and negative thoughts. Our thoughts become things, and we deliberately create with our thoughts everything that is going on in your life now, everything that's around you, you either created deliberately or by default, by not knowing of this process. And you really need to to what happens with when you do a ritual or you do any kind of magic is that it brings you your intentions into focus, and it gives you a point of contact to put your mind to and to keep focused and clear about what it is that you desire. And there is, people ask me, is there such thing as black magic? Well, I would say yes, there is. I don't practice it. I don't believe in it. And I don't, but what I mean by black magic is this. Your intentions must be of the highest good for all concerned, mm-hmm. no matter what. You never, ever want to do anything that would do cause harm, and you can never override another person's free will.
Right.
It has to be free and open to to what is to be, and you do not have that power. God Himself does not even have that power. He gave that to you, your free will. If you believe in God, whether you call it the universe, God, Source, Spirit, whatever, I use all of it interchangeably, but that term interchangeably, but it is all about your intention, and it must be for the highest and best good of all. And what this causes you to do is to focus and to shift your thought and to filter all thought, emotion, and behavior into what it is that you designed, into that focus. And whether you realize it or not, you have daily rituals that you go through. You get up in the morning, you go brush your teeth, you wash your face, you get dressed, you have a certain routine that you follow. Well, that can be a ritual. Now, if your belief system does not support doing rituals, oh, I can never do a ritual because, I was raised such and such and I can't do a ritual, it's just I'll burn in hell forever. Well, then my advice to you is don't do it. Don't even think about doing it. And, because if that's what your belief system supports, until you change that belief system or until you're open to receiving other possible thought, don't do it. Anything that is in conflict of your core nature, don't dabble in it at all. But I believe that, I'm sorry?
I'm just wondering, instead of saying ritual, can't you just say, I'm setting intention that way, it may not be going against their beliefs?
Exactly.
So you could just...
This is what I desire, this is what and actually, prayer is a form of ritual.
Yeah.
Even the simplest prayer, just in your own words. It doesn't have to be something that you're reciting, And I want to demystify some of this process because I think we get caught up in the mechanics of magic and of rituals and everything. I think we get caught up in that. I think you need to just relax and let your own creativity come through and do what feels right to you, what feels resonates within your own spirit, and take responsibility for that. So when it comes to magic, these things are I know to be true. Your thoughts become things, and you create by thought. I love the teachings of Abraham Hicks. If you are not familiar with him, Google him and learn more about it, because I just really find it just a real profound teaching, and I really connect to that. It's all about your deliberate intention. What is your intention? What is your objective? Identify the objective. And then let's talk about what it is that you need to know. You can't override another person's free will. It must be for the best and highest good and best outcome of all concerned. And when you do any kind of magic, any kind of petition, any kind of anything, you need to imagine that you already are there in that place of having what it is that you're seeking or what it is that you're focusing on. Shift your thought. One way that we do this is through affirmations, positive statements of fact. And if you do that, your affirmation should be, because there's a lot of power in the written and spoken word, and it makes you more aware of your thoughts and of your intentions. And you should always have an affirmation that is in the present tense, not in the past tense, or not in the future tense. It needs to be today. I am walking in abundance. I am walking in divine health. I have such and such. I am provided for. I have provision for every need. All my needs are met. All my debts are paid. Whatever your need is, I am healed. Whatever it is, make it present tense. Don't say if, always say when, because when brings it to now.
And also, I think you agree that you don't want to say, I want this, because there's no push there.
I have it.
Because wanting it is just pushing it in the future.
When you say you want something, wanting, it resonates that something's missing. You don't have it. You know, so you need to say, I have this. It is provided for. Come to the place of in your mind, in your thoughts, and focus on that you already are in that position, that you already have that, and attach yourself to the feeling of what it's like to have that. That is how you manifest. And if you attach your emotions to how it feels and stay there, that emotion accelerates the process. So let's talk about the moon again. Go back to the moon.
Okay.
Right now, we're in a waxing gibbous state, which full moon is coming this weekend. And with this full moon coming, that is the harvest time. That is like pollination, and that is just full force. Your fruit is bearing. So in new moons, we always make a list or a new beginning of we plant the seed of what we want. And you can cast your ritual, your spell, whatever you want to call it, or your petition, your prayer at that point, at the new moon. Really be specific, though. If you're going to make a list of something or you want to ask the universe, make sure you don't send mixed messages. Make sure that you are very specific and detailed. And the more detailed, the better. That's fine. Your job is just simply to define what it is that you want. And as clearly as you can, gather the data and define what it is that you want. Don't micromanage the process. Leave the hows to God, the universe, to angels, your spirit guides, whatever your belief system supports, whatever that is. You leave it to them, the hows, and allow room for surprises. Let them surprise you. That's the fun part of this. We've often heard about blue moons. There are two blue moons, and a blue moon is when you have two full moons in one month,
okay,
in the same month. And we are going to have a blue moon in May. There will be one coming up, I think, I've got the date here, May 19th and 20th, the weekend, a month from now, we will have a blue moon. You usually have, that's when you have a season, like spring, fall, whatever, that have normally three full moons within a season. When you have four full moons, and one will usually come at the end of a season, you will have a blue moon. So blue moons typically show up around February, May, August, and November.
Okay, and is there a special magic with the blue moon?
I always, because they're rare, more rare than normal, I think that there is, and again, it goes to my belief system. I take advantage of blue moons because that gives me two full moons within the same month.
Right.
You know, so like I said, it's a cosmic wallop. It's like it gives rise and power to your affirmation and to the energy. Capitalize on the energies of nature and of our planet and of the solar system, I mean, of the universe itself. You need to capitalize on those energies, and because what we're doing is just simply molding energy.
Right.
And because what is the first law of physics? Physics is nothing ever dies. It just changes form. It just changes. Everything is energy. It all vibrates at a vibrational level, at frequency. It's all energy, waves of energy. Again, remember that you never wish anyone ill will. If you're working on a relationship to end, you cannot do anything that would harm the other person. And because what goes around comes around, and this is what we're talking about, black magic.
Right.
Karma will catch you. And,
it definitely does.
And people have a misunderstanding. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of karma. Karma is the law of cause and effect. And I think of it this way. I caused this to happen, and it affected me this way.
Right.
And I think that's the simplest term I can put it to myself. Okay, if I caused this to happen, it can affect me this way, or it will affect me this way. So think of your intentions in that way. Good magic gives you good results every
right.
time. So you always want to think for the highest and best good of all. Part of the moon cycle is also when we talked about it going void of course and dark of the moon. Dark of the moon is when you don't see a moon at all, and of course that's when it's not visible, and that's when you do spells or petitions of protection. You want to banish something from your life. If you want to break a habit, want to let go of something, that's a good time to do that.
Now, let me just ask you this, since we're right here. If you want to banish a bad habit, what kind of process, and if you're going to do this later, just say so, what kind of process would you go through to banish someone or that bad habit or
okay,
the negative vibe or whatever? Are you going to do that later?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Because,
okay, go on.
Yeah. we're going to talk a little bit about that. This moon will be in the sign of Scorpio. So now you have this is a moon that is the Scorpio moon is a moon for power, psychic growth. It is just like the sign of Scorpio, sex, reproductive. It governs the reproductive organs of the body. So if you are wanting to do something to banish something or to release something, that would you would probably get more out of that on one of the other when the moon is in one of the other signs, and we'll talk about the different signs and what they mean. So since I'm on signs, let's talk about that. I was born under a Pisces moon. Let's talk about that just a minute, of what that means. I'm an Aries sun. My birthday is this weekend, so I'm still under the sun sign of Aries. My moon is in Pisces. My rising sign is Cancer. Now, how did I come up with all of that? And, Jen, I know you know how to do this, and I can do this as well if anyone wants to contact us. What we do is take your birth date, the date, month, and year, okay, and then the place you were born, so that we can determine what time zone this was in, and the time of day that you were born. If you don't know the time of day that you were born, generally we can use like 12 noon, but most birth certificates will have the time of day that you were born if you have your birth certificate. So it's your day, month, and year, and then location, and of course, you know, and then if you can give us that, then we can work from there, and the time of day that you were born. When the moon is in the sign of Aries, that's the time to work on authority, rebirth, leadership, and it also is about healing the face and head because Aries governs the face and head. Taurus is a good time to do, full moons in Taurus are a good time to manifest love, money, any kind of acquisition that you're trying to acquire, and it also heals and governs the throat and neck. Gemini is communication, of course, writing, travel, governs the arm, hands, and lungs. Cancer is all about the home, your home life, your immediate environment. It governs chest and stomach. Leo is another authority figure because of it being a fire sign. Courage, fertility, love, heart, and spine, and your upper back. Virgo is all about career and employment, your health, diet. It governs intestines and nervous system. Libra is all of course, just like the scales, the balance of the universe, of the zodiac, balance, unions, partnerships, justice. So if you're in a lawsuit, full moon in Libra is a good time to do anything on that. It governs your back and your kidneys. Scorpio, of course, power, psychic growth, like I said, sex, reproductive organs. Sagittarius is, again, travel. Sports, anything sports related, it's about truth. And it is the sign of horses, you know, and of course it's a centaur. It governs liver and thighs. Capricorn is all about organization, ambition, career, and politics. It governs knees, bones, teeth, and skin. And Aquarius is about science, freedom, friendships. It is a good time to break addictions, if you want to break that smoking habit. And it governs the body of parts of the body of calves, ankles, and your blood, your circulatory system. And Pisces, anything to do with mystical things, music, art, telepathy, dreams, and it governs feet and lymph nodes, your lymphatic system. So, and now we'll talk about the other names for the moons in the months that follow. January is known as the moon after the Yule, or the old moon. February is known as the snow moon, the hunger moon, or the wolf moon. March is known as sap moon, crow moon, and Lenten moon. And April is known as the grass moon or egg moon. May is known as the planting moon and milk moon. June is known as the rose moon, flower moon, or strawberry moon. July is known as the thunder moon and the hay moon. August is known as the green corn moon or the grain moon. September is known as the fruit moon and harvest moon. And October is the hunter's moon. November is the frosty moon or beaver moon. And December is the moon before the Yule or the long night moon. There may be other names that you associate with those months, but that is some of the names that these months go by. So how do we do moon magic? First of all, you must be sincere. Does this feel right, what I'm about to say? Be very clear. Be very specific. Be very detailed. And again, allow for surprises and don't micromanage the universe. It's been spinning just fine on its own without your help. Leave the hows to God, the universe, source, spirit, whatever you support. And it must be for the good of all. Set no limits, and that means no time limits either. It will happen as soon as it can, as soon as all things are in line, in alignment, and go with the harmony of what you're asking for. It cannot impinge on another person's freedom or their free will. It has to be in harmony with what's right for them. So no matter what you want, if it's not in harmony with what's right for that person, other person, or group, or whatever, you know, you're going to run into some conflict there. And it's not going to feel right. You're going to know this because it's not going to feel right. What you're saying is not going to just set right. Trust yourself and your judgment with this, and trust your heart. Go with your heart. Go listen to that inner voice. And don't get caught up in the mechanics. Set your own space and your own ritual. Don't, there are a lot of books out there, and there are a lot of outlines and guides you can go by, but use those as guides and outlines. Come up with your own magic. Be creative in your own right. You don't have to have all these, go to a store and buy all this material. You know, come up with your own material. I mean, you can improvise. It's all about intention anyway. Again, identify your objective and write a positive affirmation about what it is that you're seeking, about what it is like you already have it. Gather materials. And when I do moon magic, I do a lot of different things. I will put candles. I will light candles. And a lot of times I will dress those candles, bless the candle, and inscribe on the candle. I will also use different candles and different colors of, you know, for different things. And colors mean certain things. A blue candle is about truth and travel. Gold is anything large scale. Anytime you want a new direction, use gold candles. Yellow is for creativity, intellect, and expression. Brown is a very grounding color. It brings you back to the basics, back to your core. It grounds you. It settles you down. It connects you with the earth. It's also for humanitarian reasons. Black is used for to banish negativity or to draw the negativity. It's also to reveal secrets. Now, a lot of people have problems with black candles, and most of that comes from when you watch horror flicks, you see them always doing these black candles, and it's just like, oh, that's bad. That's bad. Well, if that's what's imprinted in your brain and you can't get past that, don't burn a black candle. You know, again, do what feels right to you and what your belief system will support. Silver is about growth. This color silver is about growth and development. It's about the arts. It's about anything to do with beauty, any beauty. Violet is a very spiritual color. It's about philosophy. It's about psychic development. It's a very restful color. That's why lavender is used a lot of times to relieve you in, you know, lavender bubble bath and lavender salt. Pink is about love, purity, and honest, noble intentions, affection, loyalty, and honor. Light blue is about travel, like I said before, and self-expression, abundance, and anything future. You can break negativity with blue, and it's about peaceful, being peaceful. It's a color of protection. It's often used as a color of protection, just like white is used as a color of protection. And green is about healing and nurturing. You can also inscribe your green candle with dollar signs for money and abundance and success and reaching your goals, setting goals and reaching them. Indigo blue, a dark blue, is about security. It has to deal with family matters and your home life. White, innocence, purity, and truth. And it is generic, any energy and any color. White consists of all the colors. So if you don't have any color candle but white is fine. Use white for everything. I mean, it doesn't matter. White, when in doubt, always use a white candle. Red is about energy and enthusiasm, health and good strength, and strong strength and ambition, passion. And it is also a reference to love and also sexual encounters. Orange is about close relationships. I dress my candles with oil and any kind of oil. Even and if you don't have oils, you can buy oils and just about anywhere anymore. The different fragrances. And, of course, fragrance will also resonate certain things. But and you need to study those. But if you, when in doubt and you don't have any other candle, use a white candle. And if you don't have any oil, use olive oil. You can use vegetable oil. It's symbolic. So use, you know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to go to a lot of expense and you don't have to go to a lot of trouble. You know, make this your own, and it's all about the intention. So you can use vegetable oil if you have to, but in a white candle. I bless the candle by holding it, and then I dress it with oil. I start in the middle, and I always work the oil with my fingertips upward toward the wick. And then when I turn it upside down and work it upward from the middle of the candlestick to the base of the candlestick, always working in an upward motion. And as you're doing this, think about what it is that your petition is, what you're going through these stages and what it's causing you to do as you're addressing your candle, as you're gathering your materials, is that you're thinking and focusing on your desire. And remember I said thoughts become things, and you're creating deliberately with your thoughts. So you're pre-paving the future already with positive thought, positive affirmation. When you burn your candle, some people burn it all the way down. Other people may use the candle over and over again and just burn it for this length of time that you're really focusing. And if that's the case, then snuff the candle out. Don't blow it out. Snuff it out.
Peggy, we have a caller.
Pardon?
We have a caller.
Oh, okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, what's your question for Peggy? What's your
I
name?
I just have a question. So when I'm praying, I should say I want.
Don't say you want. You say you desire.
I desire. Okay. So if I want a new house. So I should say I desire a new house.
You have a new house. And then describe your house.
Say I have a new house.
Yes, I have a new house. It has a picket fence. It's white. It's two stories. It has a large living room with a huge window looking over mountains. Describe what you're seeing as you're walking through this house.
Okay.
Whatever you're looking for, that's what the description is all about.
How about children?
Say, hey, you want children or you don't want children?
Yes, I do. I want my wife. You know, me and my wife want children. But I'm older, and there's a concern about that on my part.
Well, if children are in your future, they will come. Peggy, can you manifest children? Can you do magic for children?
I don't think there's anything that you can't manifest. I mean that you can't set that desire out there. Whatever your desire is, yes, I do. And I do believe in prayer. I do believe in prayer. I don't know what your background is, but
I do
definitely believe that is a part of that petitioning, and they will come. They will come. My daughter, I have a granddaughter, and my daughter was never supposed to have children, and the doctors have even told her, and I said, well, that's exactly when you're going to get them, so
yeah.
Be careful, what you wish for. And she had just given up, and of course, the next thing we know, she's pregnant. So, yeah, I do believe that you can manifest that, and that is your desire.
How about when you think about negative stuff, I mean, when it just pops in your head, I mean, how do you stop that?
Ooh, that's a tough one, because we all experience that, and it becomes a point where you have to flip that switch. And a lot of times that's old programming, that's
right.
Listening to old tapes that you've told yourself over and over again, these negative thoughts that come in,
right.
And you've just got to go right back to that affirmation. Keep that affirmation with you. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your wallet. Look at it, someplace where you're going to see it often and just be reminded till you change that programming. And, it doesn't matter. That I was going to speak of that in just a few minutes we're so grounded in the physical. We live by our five senses. If we can see it, touch it, feel it, and taste it, that's our end result. That is our reality. And what we have to do is change that reality and realize that is not reality. That's an illusion. That's it, that we need to filter all thought, emotion, and behavior not through our five senses, but through our thoughts. And again, thoughts become things, and we have to take responsibility for that. And we have to flip that switch. And it's hard to do because it's we're stuck in that pattern and that habit of of just coming back, saying, oh well, but. But this is going on, and get out of the five senses type of thing. Come from that point, attach yourself to the outcome. Just keep attaching yourself to the outcome and how it feels to have it. And attach your emotion and experience those emotions. Replace the negative with the emotion of, I've got it, I know what it feels like. You gotta project yourself out there and into that I'm coming from that place. Regardless of what I feel, see, hear, touch, whatever, that matters not to me. And it's a matter of faith. It's still faith.
Right.
So when I have a negative thought, I need to flip that negative thought to make it a positive.
Right.
Okay.
And if it's something that, you got when you were childhood, and it's just really a deep, deep programming, negative thought, you try and find somebody who does NLP because they can help you reprogram that to a positive. Or even if you had a situation that just really left a trigger that if you want something, all of a sudden you remember that other event, NLP will help you, or hypnosis can help you tremendously. And there are a lot of CDs also that can help you turn it around so it's a positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just another... If you can do it on your own, great, but if you get stuck, I personally, I love the NLP. It helps me tremendously.
Okay.
You also have to give yourself permission to receive the thing that you want. We don't give ourselves credit and we're not open enough. You go with an open mind and open heart and open arms and give yourself permission to receive. Sit yourself in a receiving posture. Lift your hands to heaven. Open your hands up and, and just one of my affirmations is that I receive all that the universe has for me. Anything the universe has for me, I receive it because it's all in my best and highest good. I know that. There's nothing detrimental that's going to come to me. It's being held in escrow for me right now. And so I've kept it from me by not being in that receiving posture and not allowing myself to receive. There's something that I'm doing that's resisting receiving. And so it's knowing that we are connected to source, to the source, and that we're not separate from it.
Right.
And I think that we live in an infinite and unfailing universe that is just willing to give and just give and give, and we need to learn to receive it. Somewhere along the line, we've forgotten how to do that.
Okay. So when I'm praying to God, is it that I'm praying to the universe?
I'm having trouble hearing, so...
No, what okay. I said was if I'm praying, I pray to God. So is that, I'm praying to the universe when I pray to God?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll answer the question for you, please. We're all one.
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
No,
do you
have
another question?
No, that was it. I was just wondering, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling. It's a real pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you very much, too. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
You take
Bye.
Care.
We talked about when you get ready to do your magic, you
right.
gather materials. I talked about candles. I also will light incense. I will use sage a lot of times. And also, I scatter sea salt in my space, in my sacred space that I'm working at. I gather any objects that are symbolic that I want, whether I use, if I'm thinking about love and even self-love, I gather my rose quartz and I put that in my area. I bring in any objects of symbolism that would help me. And then I also believe in other some other aspects, which is which direction to face. I face north when I'm doing things for health and healing and spirituality, or to increase my intuition and spirit communication. It's like the point of the compass. It's the foundation of all things, north. So when in doubt of what where to face, I face in the northern direction. I face south when I'm dealing with love and relationships, creative, artistic endeavors, anything to do with romance. South is where it draws that energy in. East is the element of air. It's the career, anything about business and finances, extra energy, new beginnings, clarity, anything to do with strength in any kind of business endeavor. I always face east. West is the element of water. And it's for letting go of things, moving on, increasing my self-esteem, forgiveness, whether it's for myself, forgive myself or others. Usually it's forgiving myself because I'm pretty hard on myself. It's about cleansing and any kind of unconditional love. And then there's other things that I do in preparation for magic. I will often bathe or wash my hands first. I pick the location that I'm going to do it. I don't want to draw a lot of attention to myself. And one thing I don't do is, especially in public. Now, I live in Southern Florida, so I go to the beach a lot, and I've done this at the beach, but I'm very low-key about it because I don't want to draw a crowd. I don't want people to go, what is that woman doing? You know, because, number one, I'm now outside of myself, and I'm consciously aware that of their opinion of me or this or that. I'm dissipating my energy when I do that, when I'm worried about the external and not about the internal and about my purpose. It shifts my focus now to other people, and I don't want that. So I'm very cautious about where I do this, and I keep a lot of things private just because I feel the power that way. It just reserves the power for me more. So I pick a good location. I also will pick the proper clothing. A lot of times I'll wear white. I'll wear something that feels is very comfortable, loose-fitting. And then I prepare the area. I also will either, and we'll talk about this, I have certain forms that I will draw on the ground. A circle. A circle is a sign of wholeness. It is, continuity. It is the universal life force, a power of achievement and balance. It's just, I'll draw a circle. When any other shape will do, I mean, I will use a circle. Triangle sometimes it represents the Trinity, body, mind, and spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's about creative, artistic endeavors, if I'm in those, doing a spell of that nature. Any divination, psychic matter, it's the power of three. And with the moon in maiden, mother, and crone stage, those three, beginning, middle, and end of anything, I use a triangle. I use a rectangle or a square when I'm seeking stability. Anything do stability at work, business, anything no nonsense. If you're in a lawsuit, don't use a square if you're using it for love. It's about building a foundation. Anything that you really need to be a firm, feel a firm foundation, build a firm foundation, you want to use a square. And I will sit in that shape. Now, I have all my materials. I have my candles. I have my incense. I have my power symbolic things. If I'm breaking a cord or breaking a tie with something, whether it be a habit or a person or a job or anything, I may use a piece of string, and I may symbolically cut that piece of string right in half as part of, as I say my affirmation or as I do my spell or whatever, or, you know, whatever I'm reciting, I will cut that and say, I now cut that cord and cut that bind that ties me. I am breaking free of this bondage that has held me in my mind or in my spirit. And I just do that as symbolism. That's part of my spell. I hesitate to call it spell because sometimes when you say spell, people get this negative idea in their head. I was not raised to do this. I was not. I was raised a good old Southern Baptist girl in the Deep South, and we didn't do these things. But again, it's all about intention and focus. And I also pray. I also surround myself with white light. I pray to God and the Holy Spirit. I always end it with thanksgiving. And I always know that source energy, now for me, that my belief system is in a God and in the Holy Spirit. And I always go back to that. And that is just where I'm, that's where my comfort is, and that's where my belief is. Whatever your belief system supports, that is what I want you to use. I would never tell you to believe just like I do. I would tell you, go with what is right for you. You know, and I totally believe that. That's basic plan for casting spells. I like to use the moon because I believe in the power of the moon, and it just helps me focus. It gives me energy. I'm energized more than, like I said, I don't sleep during full moons. I'm just energized, and that's where I get my energy. Whatever does it for you, that's what I want you to seek out. I just thought if I would mention this because there are some people who feel a lot like I do about the moon, and also because it is every 28 days, 28 and a half days, we go through these cycles, and it helps me. And I can tell you it works. It has worked for me, you know, and I'm living proof, and everything that's going on in my life right now is proof of what I did a year ago at this very time of year, you know. And I just got married this past week, and I remember doing a spell, a ritual and spell for love the same time last year. And I just got married, and I met him 4 days later. And we've been together, and we got married on the anniversary of the day that we met. So,
yes, congratulations.
So I believe in this, and I do, but again, I did not abandon my former beliefs in any way, and I still give credit to God, the universe, and everything else that supports that. And I still use very much prayer. Prayer is a very big part of my belief system and in my rituals. I mean, most of us come from an organized religious background. And I come from a part of the country where most of I'm come from a state that's the only state out of 50 that doesn't have counties. We have ecclesiastical boundaries called parishes. So I come from a very prominent Catholic state in my home state, and I wasn't raised Catholic, but I appreciate the Catholic rituals, and I get a lot out of them when I visited their churches, and I just think they're beautiful and very reverent. And that ritual, every time I went to a mass with my cousins or something, I would go and it would help me to focus on, you know, any ritual is just a procedure to help you focus your thoughts. And we would go to mass with them.
Oh, Peggy, we have a call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Peggy. This is Christina. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
In the call, when you mentioned about, you know, not to set the intention to overpower somebody's free will or to set any harmful intention on anyone, it automatically took me to Moses. And when Pharaoh was setting all of these horrible intentions to Moses, and they all mirrored back to Moses. Everything that he cursed, he experienced.
Christine, I apologize, but I was unable to hear a lot of what you said, but if anything makes you feel negative, you just don't do it.
Well, basically what I'm saying is if you send out negativity, it's going to automatically reflect back on that person that sent it out, and it's in.
Oh yes, very much
so.
That's why I said you never ever want to do that.
So it truly is in the Bible. It talks about it, and when Moses was setting the people free, and Pharaoh set all these commandments and curses upon, you know, he was going to kill all the firstborns,
right.
And it was his own child that died.
You do reap what you sow.
Oh, definitely.
So I'm really so glad, Peggy, that you do tap into the Holy Spirit, because I do too. That is where I get my source.
Well, I hate to interrupt you, Chris, but our time is fast approaching the end, and I do want to give Peggy a chance, if anybody is interested in getting a reading, because she's an excellent psychic as well. How can they get in touch with you? Peggy?
I'm having trouble hearing. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Can you give us a way of getting in touch if they want to get a reading?
Oh, I'm on Keen, Sweet Spirit, on Keen. It's if you go in and just Google me on Keen. I'm not going to say Google me on Keen. That's not correct.
No.
But if you go to keen.com, and do Sweet Spirit, and send me an email, I will be happy to set an appointment with you.
And there is a link, if you go to the schedule, there is a link for Peggy, and I will be also having that when I have the archive. You'll be able to get in touch with her that way. And with that, I want to thank you, Peggy, very much. We always need 2 hours with you. It's just, you have so much information. So I thank you very, very much for coming back on the show. I want to thank you for your brilliance and being a great friend to me. Also, congratulations on your marriage, and happy birthday to you. And next week, we will be talking to another friend of mine, Roger Webb. Roger is a personal growth coach who's also certified in hypnosis NLP. He's coming up with a new workshop on the law of attraction that's going to be coming up in Phoenix, and we'll be talking about a few other things. And until next time, I want to thank you for listening. We hope with each breath of air, you gain new insights and inspiration. Many blessings to you, and good night.